Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Stocks tumble as coronavirus cases surge around the world.
With just 6 days till the election, the outbreak dominates talk on the campaign trail.
And on Capitol Hill, big tech CEOs take the stand to testify on hate speech and misinformation.
New York officials discourage travel out of the state for the holidays, plus another night of unrest in Philadelphia over the police killing of a black man. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Los Angeles Dodgers won the World Series. They beat Tampa Bay 3-1 to take the series in 6 games.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and global stocks are tumbling as COVID cases climb around the world. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 43 points, Dow futures down 432, NASDAQ futures down 112. The DAX in Germany is down 2.75%, the CAC in Paris down 2.5%, and the FTSE 100 down 1.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.3%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down about the same. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.75%, the yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 4% at $1.57 at $38 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $11.40 at $1,900.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1745 against the dollar. The yen 104.21. Amy.
That's okay. Thanks, Karen. And we do begin with the latest on the pandemic. Cases are surging across most of the U.S. Bloomberg's John Tucker now joining us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And Amy, infections are climbing in the Midwest and the Northeast, even in rural areas like North Dakota. White House coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx just returned from a visit to the state.
It doesn't matter if you're in a rural area or if you're in an urban area. There are high levels of virus circulating because it's circulating in us.
32 states saw hospitalizations rise at least 10% in the past week. U.S. daily infections hit 66,000 on Monday, marking a new high for the seven-day average of cases. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. There are just 6 days until the election, and the virus continues to dominate talk on the campaign trail.
The vaccines, which are coming immediately, even without, we're turning that corner. You know, at some point, we're turning that corner.
The president acknowledged the surge in the Midwest, but insists cases will fall in the next 2 weeks. Experts disagree. Joe Biden continues to attack the White House response to the pandemic.
There's been so much pain, so much suffering, so much loss in America. More than 225,000 dead Americans because of COVID-19.
Infections are rising in key battleground states, bringing up questions about how the pandemic could affect voter turnout.
Cases are also climbing in Europe. The UK and France are reporting the most daily deaths since May and April, while Italy and Greece post record numbers of infections. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo has the very latest from Brussels.
We are moving very close to a lockdown, which is a real shift in strategy. It's a complete U-turn from everything that we had heard until now. Remember, there was this idea that Europe was ready for the second wave, that hospitals were in much better shape, and this was about testing, not locking people at home.
In Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel is pushing to close bars and restaurants for a month. And in France, President Emmanuel Macron is expected to announce new restrictions today.
Those restrictions have stocks tumbling in Europe, but there's better news on the earnings front. Results from Deutsche Bank topped estimates. Income from fixed income and currency trading rose 47% in the third quarter, nearly doubling the gains seen from U.S. banks. We spoke with Deutsche Bank Chief Financial Officer James von Moltke.
We've basically doubled rates revenues now for 4 quarters in a row. And so for us, the sustainability of these revenues is a key factor, and we think a significant amount of it will stick.
The results have Deutsche Bank planning bonus increases for its top investment bankers. Traders are less excited about the results. Shares of Deutsche Bank are down 4% in Frankfurt.
And back here in the U.S., shares of Microsoft are down nearly 2% in early trading, despite revenue that beat estimates. There was good and bad news in that report. Ed Ludlow has details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Strong demand from corporate customers for Microsoft's cloud business boosted the company's top line. It also reported growth in personal computing and gaming, with families stuck at home and looking for ways to pass the time. These helped the company report its 13th consecutive quarter of double-digit revenue growth. But it's not all good news. Microsoft's CFO told Bloomberg one-time sales to large and small businesses alike are still being hurt in this post-pandemic economy. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, and thank you. And we're watching earnings cross the Bloomberg from UPS. Third quarter profit and revenue beating analyst estimates, shares up 0.7% in early trading. The rest of big tech reports earnings tomorrow, but they'll also garner attention today. Top executives are set to testify at a Senate hearing focused on hate speech and misinformation. Here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The CEOs of Facebook, Twitter, and Google parent Alphabet will defend legal protections granted to the industry, known as Section 230, when they testify about social media's role in moderating speech online. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey will call Section 230, quote, the Internet's most important law for free speech and safety, and argue that repealing the law will lead to more policing of content, not less. And Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg will make a similar argument. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Charlie. And a surprise election victory by President Trump next week could benefit U.S. equities and the dollar. That's according to J.P. Morgan Chase, which says a win for the president could also hamper Asian assets. The firm says that's based on market moves we saw after President Trump's unexpected win 4 years ago. Joe Biden is currently leading in the polls, but Wall Street firms are starting to caution against assuming a Biden win.
Credit Suisse has started an advisory group to focus on so-called mega deals. Bloomberg News has learned the group will pull together top investment bankers from different sectors, including some of the highest producing bankers at the firm. Credit Suisse has advised on about $250 billion in mergers and acquisitions this year. That makes it the fifth most active deal maker by volume. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Amy. The lawyer for the family of the black man killed by Philadelphia police officers says the family had called for an ambulance to get him help with a mental health crisis, not for police intervention. Police say 27-year-old Walter Wallace Jr. was wielding a knife and ignored orders to drop the weapon before officers fired shots Monday afternoon. Shaka Johnson is the lawyer for the Wallace family.
We have a person who has mental health issues. We're going to vet those out as the process continues. But we have officers who I think are not properly trained to deal with those mental health issues.
Tuesday was a second night of unrest with police and protesters and looting in Philadelphia. There was also unrest in Brooklyn last night over the death of Wallace. The NYPD says protesters smashed windows and set small fires. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio stood in line for more than 3 hours to vote early. De Blasio filled out his ballot in Brooklyn late yesterday afternoon. Tuesday marked the fourth day of early voting in the city. It comes as the New York City Board of Elections extended early voting hours at some polling places for the weekend. Earlier, de Blasio gave a news briefing about holiday traveling during the COVID pandemic.
It's not business as usual. I hate to say it, but I have to urge all New Yorkers, do not travel out of state for the holidays. Do not travel to a state with a high infection rate. Do not travel to a country with a high infection rate.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is seeking to keep 95% of the U.S. out of New York as the coronavirus rages across the nation. Cuomo added California to a list of 39 states whose residents must quarantine for 14 days if they visit New York. The Port Authority said it will start issuing $50 fines to people not wearing face coverings at its airports, Manhattan bus terminals, and subways. The move follows a similar $50 fee that the MTA began last month. Louisiana is bracing for another hurricane this year. Zeta is expected to make landfall south of New Orleans this evening as a Category 1. This business owner in Gulfport Harbor says preparation has become a way of life this year.
We're just going to pick up the pieces after it's over with, and God mercy, we're going to be back in operation after it's over with.
Officials noted that Zeta is expected to be a relatively fast-moving storm. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right, thank you, Michael. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Let's go to John Stashower.
All right, Amy, 13 times the Dodgers have been to the postseason since they last won it all in 1988. A lot of playoff disappointments, losses in the 2017 and 18 World Series, but last night, Game 6 with Tampa Bay in Arlington, Texas.
No balls, two strikes, two outs. Urias to Adames. Call strike three! The Dodgers win! Finally! The wait is over. The Dodgers are the champions of 2020.
Dodgers radio to call. L.A. won 3-1, a game where both teams had only five hits. The Rays got a home run from their rookie sensation, Randy Arozarena, second batter of the game, but they never scored again. Dodgers couldn't touch Tampa Bay starter Blake Snell. They had only two hits off him, but after the second one in the sixth inning, the Rays took Snell out, and the Dodgers promptly scored twice. Mookie Betts doubled and scored, and Betts, who the Dodgers acquired from the Red Sox and signed to that 12-year contract, homered in the eighth. Corey Seager named World Series MVP. He was also the MVP in the NLCS. Justin Turner was not on the field for the final out, although he did later celebrate with his teammates. They learned late in the game that Turner tested positive for COVID. Jets are having their worst season since 1996 when they went 1-15, so they had the first pick of the 97 draft, and Peyton Manning decided to stay in school for another year. Could the same thing be happening? The Jets are the NFL's worst team. The prize figures to be Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, but Lawrence said yesterday that while his mindset is to leave school and turn pro, who knows what he'll end up doing. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy.
All right, thank you, John. And coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak, we'll speak with Dr. Andy Pekos, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. We're going to get the latest on the surge of coronavirus cases in the U.S. Checking the markets, S&P futures down 1.25%, Dow futures down 1.5%, and NASDAQ futures down not quite 1%. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burton serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burtonllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Shares of UPS up 1.25% this morning. This after third quarter profit and revenue beat analyst estimates. The company not providing any guidance, though, saying it's unable to predict the pandemic's path. Futures this morning lower. S&P futures down 43 points. Dow futures down 431. NASDAQ futures down 118. The DAX in Germany is down 2.7%. This is rising coronavirus infections and tougher lockdowns add to worries about the economic hit from the pandemic. 10-year Treasury of 5/32 yield 0.75%. The yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.9% at $1.54 at $38.03 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6%. Or $11.30 at $1,900.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1744 against the dollar. The yen at 104.22. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the presidential campaign is shifting west as President Trump campaigns in Arizona and stages a rally in a town just across the Colorado River from neighboring Nevada. Yesterday, Trump campaigned in three states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nebraska. Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris will campaign in Arizona a day after making multiple Nevada stops. There were more protests in Philadelphia after Monday's fatal police shooting of a black man who was holding a knife. Walter Wallace Jr.'s mother had called 911 saying her son was having a mental health emergency. Neighborhood businesses were looted and ransacked both Monday and Tuesday. Pennsylvania's governor called in the National Guard. The Los Angeles Dodgers are the World Series champs. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays in Game 6. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 6:19 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we watch jumps in cases of the coronavirus, not just in the U.S., but in Europe as well, which is where officials are putting more restrictions in place again. Let's learn more about all of this from Dr. Andy Pekosz, a professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Dr. Pekosz, it's always a pleasure to be able to talk to you and get some insight from you about this outbreak. How bad are we seeing this compared to what we saw earlier this year?
Yeah, so many places in Europe, many states in the U.S., are having record number of cases during this past week, and that's a trend that has started, you know, several weeks ago. So it is incredibly concerning because it's so widespread, and it seems to be accelerating at such a fast rate that we haven't seen in this pandemic previously.
Putting new restrictions in place, getting a mixed response across Europe, just like you would see in the U.S. So how important is it for each country, each state in the U.S., each country in Europe, each municipality, down to the granular level, to follow some sort of standardized practice, maybe to prevent the virus's spread?
Yeah, so, you know, there needs to be policy and, of course, leadership at the upper levels of government to make sure that individual, in the case of the U.S., states, counties, cities, can have the resources to interject and limit the spread of cases in ways that are specific to what's going on in their area. And this is where contact tracing can really help us in terms of providing a targeted way to understand where the virus is being transmitted and to and put in place much more limited restrictions that are targeting where the virus is right now. When, you know, back in February and March, when we really didn't have any idea how this virus was spreading, we had our, you know, widespread lockdowns to limit the virus spread. We should be able to be much more targeted now and go after where the virus is spreading and where the high-risk situations are and try to limit spread in those kind of ways instead of resorting to a massive lockdown like we had to do early in the year.
I wanted to ask you about that because we've been going through this for the better part of a year now. Health officials and researchers learning more about this virus and how it moves. Are we learning more about how it behaves so that we can get a better handle on preventing the spread beyond testing and contact tracing?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, masking is the perfect example of how we learned about this virus during the pandemic. You know, initially masks were not recommended because we really thought that spread of the virus was from people who were showing symptoms. And if that's the case, the more efficient way to go after preventing virus spread is to find the people that are ill and isolate them. We now know that there's a lot of virus spread that's occurring from people with very mild symptoms or who have very few symptoms at all. And so the masking is one of the things that has we've learned along the way. And the data is now showing that when masking is efficiently being put in place, together with social distancing and extensive testing, you can really keep down the number of cases and battle away the virus and restore some level of normalcy to people's lives.
What is the challenge going to be once we do have a vaccine of getting it to the general public, not just the mass numbers of people, but winning the hearts and minds of those who might not be 100% trustworthy of it?
No, absolutely. I think that the process of getting the vaccines to where they are now has been really good. We've gotten rid of some bureaucracy. We've allowed companies to move forward. We've inserted lots of money to make sure that companies are scaling up their production of these vaccines even before they know they're efficacious. And that's good, but that shouldn't imply that we'll be distributing a vaccine that doesn't work to the population. And now these phase three clinical trials that are going on are the most critical ones. Several companies have now announced that they're going to be delayed in terms of getting their results out. And that's okay because they need to wait until they have the data on safety and efficacy. And that is just going to take some time to accumulate because that's the way clinical trials go, especially ones with infectious diseases. So we need to make sure that we keep our eye right now on those last two hurdles, the safety and the efficacy of the vaccines, so that when the vaccine is ready to be rolled out, we get a much higher percentage of the population that's interested in taking it, as opposed to current numbers, which some some polls I've seen show that only about 40% of the population wants to take the vaccine. That's not going to help us when we have a vaccine. We need to have much more widespread use of those vaccines, and so maintaining the public trust is critical.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Andy Pekos, Professor of Molecular Microbiology and Immunology at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, bringing us up to speed on the very latest on the development of those vaccines, how to possibly get those vaccines to people throughout the public, and looking at the indicator of the hospitalizations and deaths, how that is a leading indicator of the cases that we are about to see. Much more still to come on Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's check the markets just ahead. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are tumbling as coronavirus cases surge around the world. We want to get the very latest on the pandemic live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, U.S. hospitalizations in 32 states over the past week have risen at least 10%. Hospitalizations up 68% in New Mexico, 50% in Wyoming, and 38% in Connecticut. The seven-day average of U.S. infections is at a new high. Cases are also hitting records in Europe. The U.K. is reporting the most deaths since May, while Italy and Greece post record infections. And in Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel is pushing to close bars and restaurants for a month. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thank you, John. And fresh restrictions also could be coming in France after that country reported the most fatalities since April. Let's get the latest on that from Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo.
We are going to hear from French President Emmanuel Macron. There is a lot of speculation already as to the measures that he could announce. Yesterday, there was this idea that perhaps we could see a curfew from 7 p.m. combined with a weekend lockdown. But it now does seem that the French government would be more inclined to go for a four-week complete lockdown that would start on Friday and would signal a huge shift in the strategy when it comes to coronavirus in Europe.
Macron is scheduled to deliver a televised address tonight in France after the biggest surge in deaths in 6 months.
Those fresh restrictions have stocks in Europe at a five-month low, but there's better news on the earnings front. Results from Deutsche Bank and Heineken topped analysts' estimates. Deutsche Bank said it's also planning bonus increases for its top investment bankers.
Back here in the U.S., earnings from Microsoft beat estimates. Revenue climbed 12%, but the company's forecast fell short of projections. That has shares down nearly 2% in early trading.
We have results from General Electric crossing the Bloomberg. Earnings per share and revenue topping estimates. Free cash flow also came in well above projections. And GE shares are up more than 6% in the pre-market.
The rest of big tech reports earnings tomorrow, but they'll garner attention today. CEOs are set to testify at a Senate hearing focused on hate speech and misinformation. We'll be hearing from Twitter's Jack Dorsey, Alphabet's Sundar Pichai, and Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg beginning around 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 45 points. Dow futures down 443. And NASDAQ futures down 123. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 0.75%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 4.1% on $1.63. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. This news update brought to you by the new Land Rover Defender, the toughest and most advanced Land Rover vehicle ever. Test drive the new Land Rover Defender at your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer today. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Amy. Tense moments continued between Philadelphia officers and protesters last night following the deadly police shooting of a black man who was armed with a knife Monday. His family said 27-year-old Walter Wallace Jr. had mental issues. Neighborhood businesses were looted and ransacked both Monday and Tuesday. Walter Wallace Sr. called for calm.
And I don't condone no violence, tearing up the city, looting the stores, and all this chaos going on.
The family says they called 911 for an ambulance to help Wallace, and police arrived instead. There was also one arrest in Brooklyn over the Wallace shooting. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is calling for residents to avoid traveling to other states for the holidays. De Blasio spoke during a news briefing.
Everyone's going to make their own decision. And I know there are painful choices, especially if you haven't seen family in a long time and you're worried about older relatives in other places. I get it. There's going to be tough choices to make, and everyone has to make their own choice. But my recommendation, based on the information I've received from our healthcare leadership, is to avoid travel this holiday season, to stay safe, to keep us all safe.
De Blasio later stood in line for more than 3 hours for early voting in Brooklyn. With 6 days left until Election Day, business continues to pick up on the campaign trail. President Trump campaigns in Arizona today. Yesterday, the president stopped in 3 states, including Omaha, Nebraska.
The vaccines, which are coming immediately, even without, we're turning that corner. You know, at some point, we're turning that corner, and it's been pretty amazing.
Former Vice President and Democratic nominee Joe Biden spoke in Atlanta.
Can think of any president where there's been a national crisis who didn't bring all the parties together in the White House to try to solve something? He's done nothing.
Meanwhile, the new ABC News Washington Post poll shows Biden leads 17 points over Trump in Wisconsin. Louisiana is bracing for the third hurricane strike this year. Zeta is expected to make landfall south of New Orleans this evening. New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
We need folks to prepare now, get the supplies that you need, make a plan, stay safe, stay home.
Zeta is expected to hit as a Category 1. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
Amy, the Dodgers are the World Series champions for the seventh time in franchise history, first since 1988. Game six with Tampa Bay was 1-0 Rays from the top of the first inning when Randy Arozarena hit his 10th home run of the postseason to the bottom of the sixth. That's when the Rays took out starter Blake Snell, who had been dominant. And L.A. scored twice in the sixth. Mookie Betts had a big hit, and then he came up in the eighth.
Fairbanks delivers, and Betts with a fly ball to left field. Well hit. It's on its way. It's gone. Mookie Betts with a home run. Dodgers lead 3-1, inching closer to the World Series championship on a home run by Mookie Betts.
Dodgers radio, 3-1 was the final. The difference was the bullpens. While L.A. got to the Tampa Bay pen, the Dodgers used 6 relievers, and in 7 3rd innings, they allowed no runs, 2 hits, no walks, 12 strikeouts. Julio Urias got the last 7 outs. He got the last 9 outs of the Game 7 win over Atlanta in the NLCS. Dodgers overall record this year, 56-22. They went 7-2 after they fell behind the Braves in that NLCS. One of those losses, they were 1 strike from victory. They'll always have fond memories of playing in Arlington, Texas. That's where they won 11 postseason games. 2020, quite a year for L.A. teams. Championships for the Lakers and Dodgers. Tiger Woods has decided not to play next week's Houston Open, week before the Masters, where Tiger is the defending champ. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy?
All right, thanks, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Democrats and the court. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Mitch McConnell has now completed the process of transforming a solid conservative majority on the Supreme Court into an intensely partisan supermajority. Democrats may soon have the option of doing something about it. Democrats do believe Republicans were fundamentally wrong to blockade a Supreme Court vacancy in 2016 on the stated basis that it was improper to act during an election year, only to completely change course in 2020. My best guess is that simply on that basis, it will be an uphill battle for Democrats, even with unified government, to do much. However, if the new court becomes sufficiently radical, Democrats may come to think it's an obstacle to governing at all, and even moderate Democrats may decide they have no choice but to respond. That, after all, was what drove Franklin Roosevelt to his court-packing scheme. Not single issues or unfairness, but the basic ability of Congress, the President, and the executive branch to make policy. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Coming up, another busy day for earnings with more than 40 companies in the S&P 500 reporting. Among them, Boeing. Let's get a preview on the plane maker now from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
The aerospace giant is caught in what one analyst reportedly called a no-man's land, with its 737 MAX still grounded, though nearing recertification, and the coronavirus pandemic crushing travel demand. Bloomberg Intelligence sees an operating loss of $1.7 billion. Overall, revenue is seen falling 31% to $13.7 billion. Boeing delivered just 28 jetliners during the third quarter versus 62 a year earlier. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Larry. Coming up on the economic front, the government issues data on September trade. Economists forecast the widest trade gap ever at $84.5 billion. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
The global supply chain is recovering from the initial shock of the coronavirus. In August, a merchandise trade deficit widened to a record. $82.9 billion as imports set a seven-month high. Exports also increased. Data Tuesday showed manufacturing is also on the mend, with factory orders for durable goods rising in September for the fifth month in a row. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. Credit Suisse has started an advisory group to focus on so-called mega deals. Bloomberg News has learned the group will pull together top investment bankers from different sectors, including some of the highest producing bankers at the firm. Credit Suisse has advised on about $250 billion in mergers and acquisitions this year. That makes it the fifth most active deal maker by volume. And Visa's proposed $5.3 billion takeover of Plaid is raising antitrust concerns at the Justice Department. Bloomberg News has learned government lawyers investigating the deal are worried it could allow Visa to acquire a potential competitor. Plaid has 200 million consumer bank accounts and 2,600 financial technology apps. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com. GE is up more than 6% after reporting earnings this morning. S&P futures, meanwhile, lower, down 44 points. Dow futures down 440. NASDAQ futures down 120. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Pennsylvania's governor deployed the National Guard last night to Philadelphia after a police shooting on Monday sparked protests. Demonstrators clashed with police following the death of a 27-year-old black man. Protests were held in other cities as well, including New York City and Washington, D.C. The Dodgers are the World Series champs. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
It is less than 1 week before Election Day, 47 days until the Electoral College meets, and we've got all the developments in the 2020 race covered live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio. Some of the latest, including hopes fading for that stimulus measure before the election. The Trump campaign, meanwhile, slashing its advertising budget in Florida, relying now on the Republican National Committee to carry their message there. And President Trump himself acknowledging that coronavirus cases are rising in parts of the Midwest. Joining us now, Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, let's start with that rare admission from President Trump, who said during last night's rally in Omaha that, quote, certain areas are heating up right now, which is not normally something we would hear from President Trump, who has normally downplayed the virus.
That's right. So it is a bit unusual in that way, but I think it's important to also note that he, while he did acknowledge that certain areas are heating up, he did predict that, you know, things would, you know, subside in 2 weeks' time. And so it's a bit of a different message, but, you know, not necessarily all that different, given that overall he's still saying, you know, that quite quickly things are going to get better.
So it doesn't necessarily mean he's changing his strategy as far as that line of thinking.
I don't think so. I think it's just a rhetorical difference, a slight rhetorical difference.
Hopes are fading now for a stimulus measure. We've been following this for months. The White House still says a deal can maybe be made within the next few weeks, but not before the election. The president says after the election, they'll get the, quote, best stimulus package you've ever seen. What happened? They seem to be going at it hammer and tongs until the very last minute.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of optics there, though. I think if people were really honest in the people in the negotiations, I think that they would have admitted, you know, even a week or two ago that the likelihood of getting a deal before the election was pretty slim. I think that, you know, the optics of sort of throwing up their hands 2 weeks out were bad, and so they continued to press ahead. And, you know, perhaps there was some, you know, progress that was made that could help them when they pick things back up after the election. But I think it's been pretty clear for a few weeks now that after the election is much more likely than before.
He also believes, the president does, that they'll be able to take back the House because of Nancy Pelosi, the failure to reach a deal. Are there any numbers or any anecdotal evidence that can support that?
Well, you know, it's important to remember that there are only, any election cycle, only a few, relatively few number of House seats that are actually in play. And I think there's not a widespread sense that the House overall is likely to shift from Democratic control. I think most of the emphasis has really been on the Senate, where there's a sense that Republicans there are increasingly in danger of potentially losing their Republican majority.
Let's shift to Florida. We're getting word this morning that early voting has been cut short in the Florida panhandle because of the hurricane bearing down on Florida. At the same time, the Trump campaign slashing its advertising budget in Florida. The RNC is supposed to sort of take on that message there. What is the strategy there?
Well, I think Florida is obviously, you know, a state that is, has for many election cycles now been a key battleground. You know, we just need to think back 20 years ago to the 2000 Bush-Gore race, where Florida was obviously very decisive, to really underscore how significant the state is. I think that there, you know, that being said, for Trump, you know, the fact that they're sort of ceding that in terms of advertising to the RNC is not necessarily a positive sign, because the polls don't indicate that it's clearly in Trump's column. So I think it's more a symptom of, you know, Trump's fundraising restrictions at this stage than it is an indication that he feels very confident there.
Only about 30 seconds here. I wanted to ask about that hurricane in Florida and shutting down the voting early there. That could set up the stage for a challenge, could it not?
Absolutely. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw that, because, you know, we already have some voting challenges in Pennsylvania and North Carolina that are coming to the Supreme Court. Trump has, you know, already indicated he intends to be pretty litigious when it comes to this election. So certainly something like that could be the type of thing we could see in the courts very shortly.
All right. We're going to be watching this, because Election Day may be November 3rd, but there's going to be a lot going on right after that as the votes are tallied and people lawyer up. Thank you so much, Bloomberg News U.S. Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter. Thank you for taking the time with us. Read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, follow all of the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1. Karen.
All right, Amy, thank you. It is 6:52 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes business leaders, innovators, analysts, and entrepreneurs. NJIT is future in the making, tech-driven, business-focused. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Workers from the State Department of Agriculture managed to destroy the first nest of so-called murder hornets discovered in the U.S. without suffering any stings. The nest located near the Canadian border created concern because the hornets are large and their sting can be lethal. They also pose a huge threat to honeybees that pollinate crops. In the UK, Tesla is offering an electricity tariff that combines solar panels and a battery. In order to qualify for the cheapest Tesla energy plan, customers will already need to own a Tesla and home charger, plus install solar panels and a Powerwall battery. And green power is set to draw around $11 trillion of investment in the coming decades as the cost of renewables plummets. That's the latest analysis from Bloomberg New Energy Finance and its annual New Energy Outlook. BNEF says the pace of building out new renewables will need to increase further to limit global warming to less than 35 degrees by the end of the century. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. John, good morning.
And Karen, the pandemic has exacerbated the already wide gap between white and black-owned small businesses. A new report from Goldman Sachs finds numerous obstacles for black entrepreneurs And with more on the findings, we're joined by Asahi Pompei, president of the Goldman Sachs Foundation this morning, and small business owner Carla Walker Miller, who founded Detroit-based Walker Miller Energy Services. Asahi, let's start with you. Can you tell us more about this report?
Sure. When we looked at bank funding, we found that black small business owners had a rejection rate that was three times that of their white counterparts. And so what that means is that they're not getting the capital to move from working in their business to working on their business. And John, as you know, Goldman Sachs launched our 10,000 Small Business Program over 10 years ago, and we now have a network of 9,700 business owners scattered across all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and the District of Columbia. And that's, you know, three times rejection rate for black business owners is borne out by that data.
And Carla Walker Miller, you're one of the graduates. As a black woman, can you tell us, first of all, starting out as an entrepreneur, did you feel the odds were stacked against you?
Oh, absolutely. The odds were stacked against me. I actually started my business with money from my 401k, but in 20 years in business, receiving money from a bank has been very, very difficult. We come to expect rejection just as a matter of course. I say that the no's are basically teed up before we even walk in the door.
Has anything changed, or has the pandemic exacerbated the underlying problems that you faced years ago starting your business?
The pandemic has exacerbated the problems, but it also has exposed the disparities and brought more entities to the table to help resolve the problems. Now, what's missing is the innovation of solutions and solutions designed with the voices of small businesses in mind.
Being educated, I was surprised to see in this report, is not an equalizing factor. Can you explain that?
Sure, John, you're exactly right. As we look through the data, we found that black female business owners were the most educated group in the entire population, with a whopping 86% of them having at least a bachelor's degree. Now, does that translate in terms of their revenue? In fact, it didn't. These same black female business owners had the lowest median revenue, bringing in roughly 47 cents on the dollar compared to their white male business counterparts.
And aside, what needs to be done, do you suppose?
We've got to fix the misallocation of capital. We've got to fund CDFIs, fund MDIs, fund black-owned banks, and we've got to also fund the founders. Roughly 1% of U.S. venture capital currently goes to black and Latin founders, and we've got to change that. And the last potential solution, Don, I'd say, is really around social capital. It's all about the relationships. And very often, these business owners simply don't have the relationships. So really helping them to build that network, build those relationships, is really going to be imperative for us to see this change.
All right. Thanks to both of you this morning. Asahi Pompei of Goldman Sachs and Carla Walker Miller, founder of Walker Miller Energy Services. Very enlightening. We're going to continue our focus on small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That is your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And we continue to watch shares of General Electric this morning at 5.6% in early trading after third quarter profit and revenue beat analyst estimates. And UPS shares are higher as well, up 2.2% after third quarter profit and revenue also beat. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Amy Morris, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.